Sunday, September 19, 2021, 5:06 a.m. Okay, as I sit here listening to Frank Zappa play Pink Napkins on Shut Up and Play Your Guitar album, I changed my paintings. I wanted to play around with redrawing the panel that has the image of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on there. So far, the title is Absolutely Free. And I'm thinking about redrawing some things on that. Because there's still something that's not quite right. And so I'm contemplating it. And I don't know why I decided, well, I kind of know why. I want to really attack it with something different. One of the little jars or little bottles of painting medium that I'm using, like I said, when it gets down to maybe the last quarter of a bottle. And I buy all these little bottles I hate to waste so much of that. When it gets down pretty low, it starts to coagulate, get thick, and maybe even some little chunks might even form in there. Who knows? I have been picking out some chunks that I don't know where they came from out of the medium. So I want to kind of use a bunch of it and attack this painting a little. Get a little change going here. It's pretty good now the way it is, but this is the painting out of all the paintings I'm working on right now that I could do something to it, and I've always felt like it did need something, but I didn't know what it was. So let me redraw it and see what happens. Last night was the artist reception for this latest show that I'm in, Comunidad, to celebrate Hispanic Latinx Heritage Month. I think Hispanic Heritage Month, I don't know. But anyway, so I took some time out yesterday afternoon, went down there and listened to For the Artist speak. The juror was supposed to be there. I showed up at 4. Everything was supposed to start at 4, but nothing started till like about way after 4:30. Then one of the speakers, the first speaker, wasn't there yet, and she showed up a little late. I think she was probably coming all the way from Los Angeles, so that's probably why she was late. I'm not faulting her for being late, especially when she's coming from LA. She might have been here but got lost. Who knows? Then they had these three other artists. Two of them were from Auburn, and one was from, I think, the Sacramento area. I'm not sure, but they're all Hispanic, and I think only one of them spoke. Well, I don't know about the woman, but of the three men, for sure, two of them did not speak Spanish. You know, which made me feel kind of good. Hold on. Because, I don't speak Spanish, and it's always one of those things where, you get introduced to somebody, and it's, Jacinto Rivera, huh? Yeah, and then they start speaking Spanish, and it's like, and I always have to say, I'm sorry, I'm not conversational in Spanish, you know. And, some Hispanics look at you like, what's wrong with you? You know, and some just go, okay, you know, I've been through this before, you know, it's not a problem. So, anyway, so listening to those guys talk, one, let's see, the first guy, he wasn't bad, you know, he was the one I could stomach the most. He was more of a ceramicist than anything else, and he really wasn't a bad guy. He talked about, his upbringing and not really having many ties to Mexico, but did end up going to Mexico and learning, more about his relationships there, family relationships there. And so that was kind of interesting. The next guy was, he's an older man, and he'd been around for a while, you know, in the early 60s and what have you, late 50s artist, and was a teacher at one of the community colleges somewhere. But then, you know, he went to Nicaragua to join in the revolution there, and then put down capitalism, and put down capitalism. It's like, well, you know, what better system do you have? So, you know, it's obvious he was a lefty, and then he said pre-pandemic he decided to go on like this little road trip. He went across the U.S. looking at all the Mark Rothko paintings that he could find, and went to New York, I think, and went to Asia, went to Cuba, went to Mexico, then came back in the pandemic, something like that. I don't know if that was the order, but he was traveling around, and came back, and then the pandemic hit, so everything he's got is all stuff that was kind of like a buildup of all the stuff that he experienced, and then having to be isolated, which he was. And, he's putting everything down as far as being a capitalist, capitalism, that is. And, but here, he's a guy that, he's a teacher at a community college, and he's got, 13 acres up in the foothills in Auburn, and he's got a studio and all that sort of stuff. Well, wait a minute, he talked about how he liked to mentor youth and everything like that. Okay, that's good. That's a good thing. But he's definitely a lefty, and it's like, well, you wouldn't have all this ability to do stuff if it wasn't for capitalism, because socialism really didn't create wealth. It was capitalism that did. There's show me where socialism actually created wealth and where capitalism didn't create wealth. Capitalism actually got a lot of people out of the poverty that they were experiencing. We live in a great place right now. But when you teach people that no, everything's really bad, they're gonna start to believe it. So. Anyway, so the next guy, he was a younger man, much younger man, and he was buying into the, the social justice stuff. And it's like, you're doing okay, okay. If you see something wrong, then, do something about it. But don't go walking around thinking that everybody that's not Hispanic or a different or other something other than white is white people are bad, because growing up there was maybe one or two instances where maybe and one was like, well, was he being prejudiced against me just because I'm brown, but the majority of the people that I've dealt with my whole life were pretty decent and pretty good and pretty helpful that were white. And there are three men, none of them knew that I did not have a father growing up, because my father died when I was very young. And I had my grandfather who didn't speak English, so we didn't really communicate real well. And I had an uncle, but we didn't really live with him, so I didn't have a father to actually help me along. But I had a school teacher that was really helpful in my development. White man, he didn't know who I was really, he gave me, they give you good advice. They straighten you out as far as where they see you going. And then after that, I was working a menial job, and the owner of the business. An old white man.
Who are you calling old?
he was pretty old. And I when I was working at that menial job, it turned out I was going to go work for AT&T. And so I went in and told the supervisor that I won't be coming back to work here anymore, that I've got a job now with AT&T, or actually Pacific Bell at the Pacific Telephone at the time. And so it was, thanks for thanks for the job, I guess. And so the boss, the owner, heard about it, the old white man, and he came up to me, pulled me out of the line of work I was doing, and he said, "Hey, and he told me, this is a great opportunity for you, when you go there, try to learn as much of the business as you can, and he really gave me a boost as far as an outlook towards my new job that I was going to be getting. And so I followed his advice because I didn't have anybody really giving me any advice about anything. My mom, my family knew about it, but nobody said anything. And say, "Hey, oh, that's nice." And that's it. No advice about anything. So my mom already given me the work lesson, so she just said, "Oh, that's all I could do is tell you how to work." What's screaming? Okay, so the wife came in. I guess there were some animals out in the back, some wild animals making a bunch of noise. Want to talk about that. Anyway, so so the owner of the business that I was working at, the menial job, gave me some pretty good advice. And so later on, after working for AT&T or Pacific Telephone at the time, I did a variety of jobs there. I did the operator job. I did the job, the service assistant job, which is a step above an operator. Your title's still operator, but you get more responsibility. And I was able, and I actually was able to train other operators, other people to become operators, that is. And then I also became a manager over the training of operators. And the boss there, which was a different boss than the one that was at the time that was over the regular operating office, another white man, gave me a pretty good pep talk also about the situation within the company and where I could go and what have you. And at the time I was just a temporary manager because that's how they do it. They kind of like make you temporary to see if that's what you want, if that's what they want, blah, blah, blah. And I pretty much, didn't really want to be a manager anymore because I didn't really like, telling people what to do that didn't want to do anything. I was telling him that, and he said, "Oh, okay, so I put my, I had put my, transfer application to go somewhere outside where it's more of a bigger boost in pay as far as the type of work that I was doing was, you get paid more for doing the technical outdoor jobs. And they had just at the for most of the time of being an operator, they there was a freeze on who could where the transfers were and stuff like that. So but at that point it had opened up and I was in management, so I went ahead and put my transfer in. And like I said, this manager that was over me, another manager, knew that I wanted to go, so I think he pretty much facilitated the fact that to push my transfer through because it went through right away. And but like I said, he also was very helpful and gave me a good pep talk about being in the company and stuff, and that can actually help me too. So, there's a my attitude toward white people. I have white friends, I have Mexican friends, I have black friends, I have Asian friends. Not too many Native American friends because there aren't that many around. I worked with some in at the company a couple of Native Americans, but we weren't really close friends, but I knew them. But anyway, so it really has nothing to do with race. It's how treat what people treat you, and I think the majority of the people in the country don't really look at race. You know, I mean, it's not an issue for them. And this administration that we have now wants to make it an issue, and it shouldn't be. So, anyway, so let me get the painting here, and we'll see how it goes. 7 a.m. I've got to go let the chickens out, and then I'll be back to paint. 8:31 a.m. Let me sit down here. Okay, so what I ended up doing was drawing in dollar bills in more in the foreground than the trees were. I guess they could be considered in the same plane as the main figure. So that actually does do something for it. We'll see how that works. But anyway, so it didn't take long to do that. I guess those will be life size. Those, if they're life size, then she's going to be behind them. I think that makes more sense too. Yeah. Okay, so it gives me a little bit more lead into the composition. Okay. Yeah, that'll work. That works much better. So I'll put that back up, let it dry, and look at it for a while, and bring the big panel down and work on that tomorrow. Sunday, so we've got church today. Got to go out and get some stuff done, water some things real fast. Not as cold as yesterday. Yesterday was cold. Today it's not bad. It's actually a real comfort. It's even shorts weather. You know, I could stand being out there in short and t-shirts, so it's nice today. Probably be a little warmer, I guess, huh? It's supposed to rain, I think, today, isn't it? Or tomorrow, one of these 2 days. So let me call it a wrap and get going here.